Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Outshine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America. And once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide. Where you moving in? Just want to hear.
It's Real Gump, Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins. Pretty big week here for reviews for us on the main podcast. We're talking Blade Runner 2049, but not quite yet. Today we're talking some movie news, a couple trailers, a couple ideas here. Let's start out with one trailer that came out last week. Did not get the hype of the Star Wars trailer, but it caught some attention to some people, and that is X-Men The New Mutants. It's an X-Men horror movie. I didn't know that that was going to be what it was until I watched it, and there was about 30 jump scares in one trailer. And then I kind of sat there in, not disgust, but like confusion for about 10 minutes. I don't know, I guess is the best way to put it, about this one. I'm not sure how to feel about this X-Men horror movie, which they want to make a trilogy out of it. Because you can't just make a movie nowadays. You have to plan 40 different movies afterwards.
I can't decide if I'm excited about this yet. I like X-Men. I don't like horror movies usually. It kind of seems like a natural marriage because it's a sort of easy jump between superpowers and making them scary. I also sort of like this cast a lot. Maisie Williams, Game of Thrones, Charlie Heaton from Stranger Things. Alice Braga is in it too. She's from I Am Legend. And I thought that she's kind of an underratedly decent actress. She was solid in that. So it's a decent casting. I can't decide if I'm in love with this idea. And I definitely don't know if it should have sequels already pre-planned.
I like the idea. I don't like particularly love it just because I don't think I care enough about the X-Men to be excited about like a specific horror movie spinoff. But I'm a Game of Thrones fan. I like Maisie Williams. What I'm really excited for is that the director directed The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a transition right there. You go from that movie to a horror movie based on the X-Men. And I think we're cooking. I think we got a stew cooking, boys.
So the weird thing about this is that I can't tell if this is an idea that's been organic for a while. And hey, if I'm wrong, correct me. Or if this is just them basing everything off Logan and being like, okay, we had a Logan R-rated thriller type movie that's intense and different. Let's go in the same type of direction with a different entity of X-Men, a different franchise where we kind of take it in a direction that you don't expect. And the same thing happened with Deadpool. Like Deadpool was an R-rated comedy, basically. Then Logan is what it was. It was a gritty R-rated action, almost thriller type movie. And now they have this one, which, I mean, it looks like every bit of a 2010s horror movie cliche type thing, because there are a ton of jump scares in the trailer. Like, that's like what it is. I just don't know if this is the right way to go about it. I like the idea of taking X-Men in a different direction, because like you, Trill, I don't get really excited about the X-Men, but Logan was unbelievable. I'm excited for Deadpool 2, but there have been so many missteps with the X-Men franchise. Like, nothing really gets me going. I could get into an X-Men heist movie, which they're actually going to do apparently with Gambit. With Channing Tatum as Gambit. It's going to be like a heist type movie. But I don't know if horror is really going to get me. Because especially with mutants, it's fake as it is. Like something like Get Out, while it was ridiculous and would mean that can't happen in real life, it was realistic enough where it kind of freaked you out a bit. The same thing, you know, with other movies like It. But if everything inside a horror movie is unrealistic, like they're mutants – and it's the horror aspect. I don't know if I can connect to that, if that makes any sense. Because like It, a lot of it is like realistic, and then there's the horror part. So I don't know if you can tell what I'm getting at here, but I think there's so much, I guess, fake in it that I don't know if I can be scared by something like that.
I think they just saw Stranger Things, and they're like, oh, okay. like 11 is kind of like a mutant and she has powers. So like what if they were all just 11? And because everybody likes 11, she's a fan favorite. So we just got 15 11s in this movie and it's basically like a better Stranger Things, right? So horror movies, I like them when the cast is powerless. They're just kind of like sitting ducks and they get picked off one by one. And, you know, maybe I'm talking about a slasher, but you got a bunch of mutants so you can fight back, right? And that thing, like they have powers. So is it really a horror movie if they can actually like fight back? Or, you know, do these mutants just not know how to harness their powers yet? Hard to say. But you're right. It seems like they saw Logan and they're like, okay, well, that worked well. And then they saw Stranger Things and they're like, okay, well, you know, what's – dude, that is like – Are you in Paris?
No, that's okay. Classic new. That's the Mount Sinai hospital has the new ambulances that have the old Euro siren.
It's like Paris.
For reference, Ken Jack and I live in not the same exact area. He does live a little ways away from me, but we are in the same vicinity of New York. And I didn't know that one of our local hospitals ambulances have the European ambulance sounds.
Yeah.
And it really throws you off and you don't realize it. And you're like, wait, am I dreaming? Like, where am I right now? You should have just rolled with it. You should have been like, yeah, I'm recording from Paris this week.
Live in Paris today. I bring you, we are buttering our popcorn.
Are you buttering for the new mutants? I am Gambit.
The more we talk about this, the more I'm not buttering it. If I feel like all the horror movies, I don't know if this is just a trend now, they're just trying to rip everybody from Stranger Things. Because first they took Finn Wolfhard, and again, his porno-ass name, into It. And now they're taking Charlie Heaton and putting him in this. And the real star of Stranger Things was Dustin. Why isn't Dustin getting his own priority role in any sort of horror movie? He was probably the best part of the entire series, or Eleven herself, to be honest.
No, dude. All the memes say it was Barbara.
Oh, fucking Barbara, yeah. We're team no Barbara, or at least I'm team no Barbara. I'm sick of Barbara. I don't want to hear anything more about her. She got a fucking Emmy nod, which, to me, Max Kellerman is ridiculous. It is insane, and is the internet run amok, and it makes me so pissed. I tweeted it the other day. And it was an embargo, so any mention of Barb on my timeline gets the auto block.
Damn. I'm not going to butter my popcorn on this one. And here's why. I just don't know enough about the movie to butter at this point, you know. And I can enjoy popcorn without butter. And I just, you know, I'll have unbuttered popcorn until I find out that this movie is going to be good or bad. But like you're saying, look, we don't need everything to be a horror movie. We don't need everything to be a derivative spinoff. Just seems like this is combining a lot of things that work for other people into something that they're attaching the X-Men name to.
From X-Men to Suicide Squad 2. Twist it! Jared Leto says he likes the director. He doesn't know if he's going to be in it or not yet, which is funny because was he even in the other one? I mean, if you blinked, you missed the Joker. What would you want from a Suicide Squad 2 movie?
Okay, here it is. Take every cast member except for Jared Leto and Margot Robbie and fire them. And then just have a Joker and Harley Quinn movie. I mean, that's it. Like, the two most interesting parts about Suicide Squad are them. So just have a movie about them. That would make me care.
Yeah, I don't know what could make me care about this movie. I agree that the first trailer for the first one is pretty good, and it made me interested to want to see it. And then immediately, once I saw that all the reviews are avoid this movie at all costs, it's garbage, the Joker's not even in it, I sort of weaned off and ended up watching it on demand, I think, later on. There's nothing really I can think of that would make me like genuinely like gung-ho to go see Suicide Squad 2. And the more I'm looking into this director, he doesn't have like a really great repertoire or anything. Like, his biggest two movies were The Warrior and The Accountant. And then Miracle is his next biggest. Now, I'm not a huge hockey guy, but everyone loves Miracle.
I do like Miracle.
And, I mean, I don't know. I don't see where all the big praise is coming from for Gavin O'Connor as a director. So I don't know. Nothing's really making me want to butter up on this right now.
I would like the idea of more smaller time, petty little crime type things that they have to fight. I don't need them fighting some demigod, blue light in the sky villain. That's the thing that bothered me most about it is that Suicide Squad should be handling the smaller things. Because honestly, the villain in Suicide Squad was so big and so destructive that in that universe, Batman would have done something. You know, Superman or Wonder Woman, these Justice League type characters would have done something. Leave the big stuff to them. Give me smaller time type thing. Give me like crime lords and mobsters, like old Batman movies. That's who the Suicide Squad, at least in these movies for me, should be fighting. But I just think at this point, it's going to have to be very, very good and reviewed very well for me to go see it on like opening night, because the first one was such a disappointment. So butter or no butter to Suicide Squad 2. Also, we're not going to touch on it too much because we got to get through a couple other things. But side butter, like you got a smaller buttered popcorn for like a family member. Are you going to butter that one for the Tron reboot that Jared Leto's involved in on?
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm buttering on Tron. I want to see Jared Leto in like a Tron bodysuit. You kidding me? That'd be awesome. I'm not going to butter for Suicide Squad 2, though, because the first one was so bad. It's hard to get me excited for the second one. Like you're saying, we'll see it. We'll see all the big movies. So it's not like I'm not going to see it. It's just like I'm not particularly excited about it.
I'm not buttering either. That last Tron reboot was duty, although the soundtrack was kind of cool. No butter on Suicide Squad either, just because like you guys were saying, the first one was just so monumentally shitty. I just don't have high expectations.
Wait, I like Tron Legacy, though. I thought I enjoyed. You didn't like it? Okay.
Wasn't a fan.
Jeff probably didn't like it either.
No, it was okay. I didn't despise it. There were so many worse movies that came out, and I liked the Daft Punk integration of that movie. Man, I'm going to like anything with Jeff Bridges to a certain extent. I can't say that about R.I.P.D. It's one of the worst movies of all time. So, all right, next up, a little different, little diversion from movies. We put a poll out on Twitter over the weekend on @LightsCameraPod. Feel free to follow us. We asked, what do we think about types of movie theaters? Which of these do you prefer? Regular movie theater, so just your run-of-the-mill AMC, Regal, regular run-of-the-mill, stadium seating sometimes. Trill, you mentioned it, the regular mildly sloped seating, where it's not stadium seating like the old days.
Yeah, so bad. You always got screen blocked by some tall dude.
Yep, and then you have our second option was the fancier theaters. So AMCs and some Regals have this too, where they have like the reclining seats, but also including on fancier theaters, I'm talking about like the ones where they have really nice like Lazy Boys and blankets and they come and blankets. Rub your I've seen some blankets, they rub your feet or some shit if you're Ken Jack.
Oh, hell yes. I want to rub someone else's feet though. I don't want them rubbing mine.
And the third option is the Eden movie theaters, like the Alamo Drafthouse of the world, which they're kind of all over the place. I didn't know until I moved from Texas, but Alamo Drafthouse, it's the kind of sit-down dining type movie theater experience. The results were in on that. Very heavily favored fancier theaters, 66%. 28% said regular. Only 6% said they like the dine-in experience. I personally am a regular guy. The theater I go to, it's the traditional like sloped seating, because the one I go to is a really old theater in New York, the AMC by Lincoln Center, and it's like a famous theater. They have premieres there and stuff, and I like it. I'm a fan. But some of them in New York are awful. I will say that. Like Times Square theaters have bed bugs again, so that's a hard pass on that.
See, that's my ultimate fear, dude. Jesus, it's like the perfect environment for bed bugs.
You fear that more than you fear sitting in furry piss again?
Yeah. Because at least you can take a shower of furry piss. Bed bugs are like, you can't get rid of them.
So I like the regular theater, but I don't mind the fancier ones. Like there's a couple in the area that I like that have the reclining that are still the traditional like popcorn drinks, sit down, go to your movie type thing. But what about you guys? No one really picked Eden either. I don't like Eden. I don't like the Alamo experience. I don't like people walking around taking orders while I'm watching a movie.
So I went to an Eden for the very first time in Chicago last weekend. When I saw Blade Runner instead of seeing Flatliners, and it was not a great experience because they keep the lights on and they're like you're saying, they're just walking around taking orders and shit, and I didn't really want anything. I'm like, if I wanted food, I'd just go up and go outside and get it myself. I don't want you guys walking through here with the lights on and shit ruining my magnificent theater experience. I'm a big fan of the recliner seats in AMC though. The Lincoln Center AMC, like you were saying, is really awesome. I like the 84th Street one instead though, because almost all the theaters do have that recliner seating.
Yeah, it's legit, like electronic too. Like they're back.
Real New York guys over here. Hey, I'm reclining over here.
Yeah, and it's great because they're all two-seaters. So if you bring a sweetie with you, you just raise that armchair up. You
they're
know,
two, they're two-seaters.
Yeah, they're like a recline. Like they're set up in sections of two, and then there's like an arm thing, like an armrest between it, and you can lift the armrest so that you get like basically like a couch. It's a great experience if you're bringing along a honey for the ride. And I gotta say, great. I love the recliners. I'm a big recliner stadium guy. Especially over like the older theaters here where it's like disgusting, ratty old upholstery. Like you're saying, no slope seating. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, I just don't like the cloth upholstery, dude, because the recliners are like vinyl and fake leather or whatever. So they can wipe that down easily once a month whenever they decide to clean those. The cloth, the stench's never coming out of the cloth, man. Like so much fart gas has just been sucked into those cloth seats. It's disgusting. And the newer theaters, like the nicer theaters, typically have like a laminate hardwood floor down or something like that. It looks a little classier. It's not that like sticky ass concrete, which is just disgusto.
It is.
the grossest thing is when you look at like the old seats into the concrete where they bolt in to see how grimy and gross it is down there, like where the bolts are. There's like gummy bears hardened into like the rails and stuff like that. Oh, disgusting. I'm a recliner guy. I'm not an eating guy.
Old gum just grosses me out. And I went to one of those nicer AMC like recliner theaters, but it had been remodeled for 3 months, and I went to sit down and it was Fast 8, so Fate of the Furious, which already I'm kind of grossed out to begin with. And they're the entire inside of the recliner is lined with gum. And oh. I went to the concession stand and I got about a stack of 300 napkins and I shoved them in the crevices of the entire recliner just to make sure I wasn't sitting in gum. I was just repulsed.
Dude, shoving napkins in crevices. That's me after Applebee's. Hey-o.
Oh.
Movie theaters. Don't go to the Eden ones, apparently, according to the LCP followers.
People swear by the Alamo Draft House, though.
So they do.
I've always wanted to give that a chance. I've never been. But like the AMC Edens, and, you know, there's a few like local ones scattered here and there that I've been to. And I don't like the distraction of the food. Like, I don't like to smell food, really.
Alamo's huge in Austin. And back when I used to live in Austin, like, it started in Austin, so people swear by it. But the popcorn, I'm a popcorn and movie guy, and the popcorn also doesn't taste like regular like AMC or Regal popcorn. And I like that traditional taste. I don't know what it is. That's my type of thing. So I'm out on Alamo. I'm sorry.
Was it the Orville Redenbacher's reduced calorie one? They just like make it in bulk.
It's just skinny pop, and they just
They just heat up some skinny pop.
If you want to sponsor us, we love you.
So here's a topic for our next one that I was blown away by. And there's always one per week that catches me by surprise, and then I deep dive into it for about 30 minutes. The actor who played the Green Ranger in Power Rangers. Jason David Frank wants a Logan-type send-off. Yes, wait. Logan, like the Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie, wants a Logan-type send-off for the Green Ranger.
Can we talk about how ridiculous the name Jason David Frank is? Like, it's three first names.
Man.
People have two first names, and that's fine. And then he has three of it. Jason David Frank.
Yeah, it's that's like an accounting firm.
Yes, it's like the guys who sit in the cubes next to you. Oh, we got Jason David and Frank over there.
He wants a Logan-type movie, which I have a few thoughts on this. First off, a Logan-type Power Rangers movie, kind of cool. I think at this point I wouldn't mind a super over-the-top serious Power Rangers movie that's badass and gory. Because for a good amount of the newer Power Rangers, I didn't really hate it. And shame me if you think that sounds ridiculous, but I didn't think it was that bad. And then it got ridiculous at the end. It just started jumping the shark left and right. I wouldn't mind a serious one. However, a Logan send-off. I mean, Hugh Jackman got a Logan send-off because there was tons of Wolverine movies. He was in every X-Men movie. He was iconic. One of the most famous superhero portrayals of all time. Like, Hugh Jackman deserved a Logan send-off. I don't think the Green Ranger has done anything in the last 15 years to deserve a send-off.
Was he joking when he said this?
He was dead serious. He said, I've talked to Saban, the Power Rangers people. We've talked numerous years about doing a solo Green Ranger project. I'm not giving up on it, and it's not a firm no.
This is like a Robot Chicken sketch. Like, like they would get a Green Ranger doll, and then they'd like say, "Oh, what if Green Ranger was like in a Logan type movie?" I can't take it seriously. No popcorn for this one. Like, just no popcorn.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, I will say though, Green Ranger, like, pretty cool. 1993, I was big into Power Rangers as a child, and the action figures were really hard to come by. And the Green Ranger, like, they introduced him, I think it was like the second season of the Power Rangers or something like that. And he was way cooler than the other Power Rangers because he had this gold thing on him. And he had like a little like whistle. And then he became the White Ranger or whatever. But cool Power Ranger. But I'm not interested in a standalone movie because I'm not even interested in a regular Power Rangers movie.
I'm going to say something that might upset both of you since you're sort of Power Rangers fans, but fuck Power Rangers.
I'm not a Power Rangers fan. I was also into Battle Trolls.
I like how Trill ended his last point by saying, "I don't really want a Power Rangers thing, but for Ken Jack, for your point, you wanted it to fly." So you just said Trill's a Power Rangers fan for no reason at all.
Hey, so you said 1993, Trill Ballin's big Power Rangers fan. I just don't want to upset your better instincts from being a child. But I'm going to say it. Fuck Power Rangers. I didn't want the live action one. Some movies just, they kind of need to die, or franchises just need to die out. I don't know why this dude has this super inflated like sense of self-importance. Like, you have to have a modicum of self-awareness, and he has obviously zero. It's like, dude, you were the fucking Green Power Ranger. Like, people, like, your story is wrapped up, dude. Like, you're 6 feet under now. And like, didn't the other, not the Green Ranger, but I think the Red Ranger, like, killed his roommate or something and got like arrested for murder?
One of them did. One of the originals did. It was either the Red or the Black Ranger.
I think it was the blue one, wasn't it?
Oh, or the blue one. It's one of the. Yeah. It was a guy.
Wasn't he the nerdy one? Like, was it? Was always, I don't know.
Another one became a porn star, I think.
I don't know. Now we're getting into like slander territory.
I'll slander Power Rangers any day of the week.
Which is like making up random facts. Like, all these are urban legends too. It's like all these are urban legends. It's like Mr. Belvedere sat on his balls and the Power Ranger killed his roommate. Okay, these actors were like 25 when the 1990 Power Rangers came out and they were playing high school students. And now they're like 50 and they're wanting to be in Power Rangers movies. Like, why? Like, that's stupid.
They want money like the rest of us. I just got to say, these movies, no, it's dead. The franchise is dead. Let it go.
Old man Rangers. Think about how lame that sounds. Like, Logan, just, they're old and they can't do the tricks and they can't do the special powers as well.
Let's let Power Rangers just kind of fizzle out. What's the fan base for Power Rangers? Who likes Power Rangers? It's got a supportive fan base, apparently.
It does. Like, if you go to their Twitter, there's people who freaked out about it. You know how when you see like a movie, or if you see with Marvel and DC, you see their fans, they're crazy. Like, no matter what they tweet, they're going to freak out. Like, oh, you know, Joss Whedon's my dad or some shit like that. You know, like, like the really crazy fans. Like, they do the same thing about Zack Snyder. They think he's a god. That's kind of how people react with Power Rangers. So,
Joss Whedon spit in my mouth, daddy.
Power Rangers, not even Power Rangers, the Green Ranger Logan type movie. Hard pass.
I haven't seen that Zord here in years.
Next up, another movie from the 90s, or another entity from the 90s that has come back to life. Much more successful, I will say.
Beanie Babies.
The Beanie Baby live action movie. I don't even joke about that because I don't know how a Beanie Baby movie has been made yet. Like, the Beanie Babies realize they're not worth anything anymore and they have their value. Like, that's definitely going to be a movie one day.
Like the Cobbler, except it's a Beanie Baby.
Yes. Dude, everyone was freaking out about the Rick and Morty sauce, but back in the 90s, there was a Beanie Baby, like mini Beanie Baby promotion at McDonald's, and people lost their shit over that. Like, they gave away these mini Beanie Babies and Happy Meals, and like, people apparently, like, they're like certain rare ones. I don't know. That I am confident that if like computer animation was like as prevalent in like 1996 or 95 as it was today, we would have had a freaking Beanie Baby movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's terrifying, actually.
And now that I've hijacked the segment, please continue.
Jurassic World 2, aka Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, apparently might get a trailer for Star Wars, which is going to be the case for a lot of movies. There are going to be a lot of big time trailers attached to The Last Jedi. And we're not just saying that because we like Star Wars and we're trying to hype it up more. It's just, it's known that it's going to get a lot. Might get an Avengers trailer, Infinity War, another Black Panther, but Jurassic World with a bunch of characters nobody knows the name of. It's going to get a trailer because the movie was wildly successful. What do you want from Jurassic World 2, aka The Fallen Kingdom? We asked this earlier about Suicide Squad 2. I think we all liked Jurassic World, right? We just didn't love it. Like, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't blown away by it.
It's hard to watch again. Like, the first time you see Jurassic World, you think it's good, and then you rewatch it, and you're like, this is not that good of a movie, in my opinion. I don't know what I want out of this. Where do you go? Like, The Fallen Kingdom? So are they going back to Jurassic World for something, or like, are they discovering another Jurassic World or like dinosaurs in the wild or something? Like, I don't even know what the premise is.
I think part of the idea is going to be the hybrid creatures mating with each other and making like new species of dinosaurs. At least that's what I got out of some of the so far synopsises. My only two things I want out of this, it's just two words: character development. I want to leave this movie and know the fucking people's names. Like, I can't name a single fucking character from that movie, and I think I've seen it four times. Like, none. I just know Bryce Dallas Howard's in it, Chris Pratt's in it. That's about it. That's all I got for it. Vincent D'Onofrio's too, at some point. Then he just gets eaten as shit.
I'll tell you what we're going to get in this movie. We're going to get a joke about Bryce Dallas Howard's shoes or something like that.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about
that. She's going to be like, she's going to have boots this time and be like, no, like, I packed something more practical. And then, like, there'll be like a sly nod to everybody's biggest gripe on Jurassic World. Want.
I just don't know how much farther into this you can go, because I mean, again, it was a soft reboot, the last one, and it did well, but it did pull on the same strings, and Star Wars The Force Awakens can be tagged for the same things, but I think Jurassic World tugged on a lot more of the same strings it did from the originals, and it just felt it just wasn't as memorable, like you said, Troll, the second time around. And again, I just didn't know the characters' names. It might have been one of the two of you, or we might have talked about it in the last pod with Robbie. Somebody mentioned the name of Chris Pratt's character being Owen.
Yeah, that was me.
It was you. Okay, you said Owen. But like, I just looked up Bryce Dallas Howard's character's name. If you would have said it, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd have said you're making that up. Do you know what it is?
What is it?
Sarah.
Claire.
Oh.
Yeah, see? No fucking idea. I think one of the kids' names is like Grayson or something, or Seth. I don't know. Or Seth Grayson's actually a character in
House of Cards. Jimmy Fallon was my favorite character in Jurassic World.
Oh, God, yeah. Fucking A.
Or, hey, welcome to this bowl. Oh, it's like a Jay Leno voice.
And they had the dude from New Girl for a second, too. And the girl from Black Mirror. They were like the operations crew. I forgot.
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson, yeah. He was actually pretty funny in that.
Yeah, I liked the operations crew and the I forget the name. I really like the woman he was paired with.
Yeah, it's a girl from Black Mirror.
Yeah.
All I know is Jeff Goldblum's in it, and that is only a good thing.
I'm so in.
Yeah, that's the biggest hype point for me for Jurassic World 2, and probably for a lot of people. Jeff Goldblum returning. Like, he's like a fine wine, man. He just gets better with age. He's got that like gray hair now, and that just that pepper beard.
I mean, I guess it's mildly hypocritical because I just kind of went after the first one or Jurassic World for playing the old hits, and that's what Jeff Goldblum is. But he's a hit that I want them to play again. I liked his character, and he's actually a tease to Thor Ragnarok. Unbelievable in Thor. He is so funny, so on point. Like, he's mostly his character from the Tim and Eric series, Tim and Eric Awesome Show. He is really weird, very different, but he's great in that. So Jurassic World, let us know what you want. What's your plot point for Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom? You know, what animal or dinosaur hybrids do you want to see? Tweet us, Lights, Camera, Pod, let us know. This next one is kind of a tease to our pods in 2 weeks because I want to establish our expectations. So this week, coming out the night of the 18th and the 19th, we will be reviewing Blade Runner 2049. The week after, we're going to review three movies in one podcast. We're going to kind of quick hit them, probably destroy them because I don't think we're going to like them. Geostorm, and they kind of have a horror type vibe to them. Geostorm is more of a disaster porn. Happy Death Day. and Boo 2, A Madea Halloween. And Kendrick is shaking his head viciously right now. I don't know if you saw Boo 1, A Madea Halloween, but I did. We'll be reviewing the three of them. So let's talk about some expectations. What do you expect from Happy Death Day, Geostorm, and Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, which I am easily the most excited for that one out of the three.
I think Happy Death Day. I've actually been impressed with the reviews it's gotten. The people have seemed to like think it was okay. And that's fine for me. If a horror movie can be just okay, that's a huge win in my book. Geostorm, I have no faith in. I don't like big disaster movies. I never have. And then Boo 2, you're right. Like I can't wait to see where they take the Madea franchise with the second Halloween movie. You know, it's not enough for Madea to have one Halloween movie. We all know there's so much Tyler Perry Halloween content out there that a second movie is completely necessary for the Madea cinematic universe.
I think for Happy Death Day, I expect trash because I expect trash of all horror movies because it's the worst genre in all of cinema. It just sort of looks like apocalypse porn, like we were saying. And it looks like 2012 fucked Armageddon and then pooped out this movie and spit on it.
And spit on it.
Yeah, the spit is Andy Garcia just right on top of it in a big little heap of a loogie. For Boo 2, I've seen more Tyler Perry movies than I care to admit because my mom is a really strangely like a huge fan of Tyler Perry. So I've seen a lot of that franchise and I don't want to see any of it. I don't want to see this movie. I don't want to see anything involving Tyler Perry, to be frank.
Geostorm is easily the one I'm going to hate the most out of the three of these. Like predetermined, I'm going to hate that. Disaster porn just doesn't do it for me. So Madea 2 or Boo 2, Madea 2. It's definitely not Madea 2. Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, Happy Death Day, and Geostorm. Try to see them, at least one of them, in the next week and a half or so because we're going to review them next week, the pod coming out on the 25th and 26th of October. Lastly, got to get to this. Fast and the Furious. We tweeted out a question. We got a lot of replies. We wanted to know what you think the Fast and Furious 9 title should be and where it should take place. Here are some of the suggestions for us. Fastivus, Acapulco. 9 Fast, 9 Furious in Connecticut. I love that. Makes no sense. Just a really like rural New England setting. I like this one, Fast Flatline. All the characters kill themselves and recklessly drive cars in the afterlife while they yell, I'm flatlining.
Flatlining. Hey, I'm flatlining with my family.
Flatlining family first. Will Tyrese be in this one, by the way? You think he's going to get kicked out?
I've come to accept that that's all probably fake. I think that's, I think all that's fake beef. As entertaining as it is.
You said the Magnificent Nine in the Old West, Ken Jack. I liked it. Do they travel back in time then?
Yeah, so I have a full plot for this. So I'm calling it the Magnificent Nine, and we're going to have a Kingsman slash a Valentine villain who wants to go back in time to the Old West to kill a young Henry Ford to prevent him from ever championing the car industry to stop global warming. So naturally, they get the Fast Squad together and send them back in time to stop him. And then they get in an ensuing car chase with Henry Ford, who drives the Model X, which you don't learn about in the history books, which is souped up with nitrous oxide.
This is a universal property. So if it's a universal property, please bring in Marty McFly and Doc Brown.
Let me ask you a question, Ken Jack. What year approximately does this take place?
Like 1890s or something.
Okay. Let me look
up. He's born in 1863. I did my research.
Oh, okay. So it works. Because I thought, okay. Yeah, my bad. I'm actually the idiot here. But I like it.
I'd watch it.
I do like that. I do want the time traveling aspect to be involved with Back to the Future, though, because I think Universal can bring that franchise back. Somebody suggested Car Wars Episode 9, put it in space. I have been a long proponent of Fast and the Furious needing to be in space, and I will be shocked if it isn't in space at some point along this franchise's history.
They're just like racing a Mars rover.
But they all really go the same speed because it's in space. Someone said a Jumanji crossover. So this one we got a lot of, and that is Fast 9 and set in Berlin.
I'm down. Spelled,
like 9?
Yes. Spelled N-E-I-N, yeah.
I like that.
We got a lot of those. We'll see how many we get by the end. People want Deep Space. There you go. Fast and Furious 9 in Vienna. Too Fast, Too Furious 2 in Chernobyl. 9 Fast, 9 Furious. The gang travels back in time to kill Hitler. We have a lot of time traveling involved now. I think the Fast franchise should just jump the shark at this point and give up and just do the most ridiculous shit, because I would love that.
So I think that's why they're making the Hobbs movie, because they need time to figure this out. Like, where we go from here, guys?
At eWeb21, this is good for you, Trill. He said, Fast and the Furious, and it takes place at a furry convention.
Oh, yeah. The whole movie at a furry convention. It's just they steal, like, Chevy Aveos from the valet lot and just race them.
Coley says, Fast 90210, written and directed by Bill Simmons. Another crossover. A lot of crossovers here.
A lot of references to Rocky.
So this one, I'm not sure I'm going to say the name right. Furious from Fast and Nine in the Mojave Desert with Jared Leto playing Jesus.
Oh, he's fasting. Okay. All right.
Furious from Fasting. That's how he did it. Okay. Anyone that put nine as a letter, I respect that. Okay. So Jesus is in this one.
That's very clever. I like that. We have a lot of very clever followers.
I'm at impressed. Play It Cole. K-U-L. That's a good one. We got Mad Max 5, post-apocalyptic Australia. Vin Diesel and The Rock are in old age makeup because it's the future. Another crossover I'm okay with. Then got another one for Mad Max, The Fast and the Furiosa. So a real crossover.
I'm in on that big time.
Mad Max and Fast and the Furious, which Mad Max really was a good Fast and the Furious movie, is what it ended up being. It's like it took the elements of chases and made it good. FF9, it's a Jeep thing.
It's all Jeeps.
just a Jeep version. F9, Recalculation, refreshing the whole series. That is good. I like that one. At Captain_Lurk. Just call it F9 and reboot the whole thing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, all their memories are wiped and they all start out in the original location.
Mix it up with Men in Black, too.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Men in Black, at SmotherHooked says Furious 9 Jump Street. Now, that's another crossover I'd be okay with. Bring the Jump Street crossover to some franchise. Okay, wow. Another Fast and the Furious at the hotel where Trill got into a piss-soaked bed.
That's so gross. I still can't believe that story.
Whole movie takes place in Tampa.
No, I'm not reading that one. I like Deep Space Nine, Fast and the Furious, crossover with Star Trek. Dom Toretto steals the Enterprise.
I'd be in with that. Instead of like a Tokyo drift, they do like an interdimensional drift. Like,
so wait, so you'd be okay with that, but not a Quentin Tarantino Star Trek movie?
Yeah, fuck that. I'm all in on Fast and the Furious crossover, though.
I like this one, Fast Wine in Martha's Vineyard. That's really good. I like that one. Another Fast 9, Tyrese travels back in time to 1945 Germany, and he teams up with the Transformers. That does make sense, because that is actual real-world canon that Bumblebee did fight in World War II.
Yeah, I'm in on that, too.
Even Faster and Even Furiouser. I like that. Fart and the Furious 9, starring Kevin James as the lead villain in Cleveland. They actually shot the Fast and Furious movies in Cleveland. But I wouldn't mind a Fart in the Furious. That does actually. There will probably be an Adam Sandler Netflix spinoff called The Fart in the Furious.
Oh yeah, big time. And then like Kevin James is gonna like fart into the gas tank to make it run or something.
Fast and the Furious, but the 9, it replaces the R and it takes place in Derek Jeter's home in Florida. Love a good respect to reference. Honey, I Shrunk the Car, located in Brendan Fraser's hair. If that involves Rick Moranis, I'm involved.
Oh yeah,
where's Rick been?
He retired.
Oh, like for real?
Yeah, I think I don't really know the details, but I think he retired. Not a good segment here.
So I think the winner was the Germany back in time, time traveling to World War II, Fast and Nine.
I like it.
The winner. I could not think of a way to involve the number 9, and this one makes sense. So Universal, if you're listening, Vin Diesel, The Rock, and of course, I know Tyrese does listen to this podcast. There's your ideas.
Is it just going to take place in Berlin, though, or is there going to be like a time travel angle in this, like everyone was saying?
No, go back to the Old West. I like your idea, too. I want the Old West. Like, they accidentally go to the Old West first, and they go to Germany.
Yeah, and there would definitely be like a horsepower joke involved in there, too, and then The Rock, like, punches a horse in the face and kills it or something.
So that's it. That's Real Dump. Appreciate you guys listening. Make sure to go see Blade Runner if you haven't already. You have a day to see it, basically, when this comes out. We're going to review it And our recording on Tuesday. Actually, you're going to have 2 days because we record on Tuesday and then it comes out Thursday morning. So you have a few days to see Blade Runner 2049 if you haven't. Please try and see it because apparently it's a good movie, like Ken Jack says, and it's making no money compared to what they thought it would. It is so far behind the pace of Transformers the last night that it's incredibly sad. After 9 days, it had made almost double less than Transformers the last night had made after 9 days. So that's a little sad.
So half?
Yeah, I guess you guys could have said that. Double less. Really trying to get double less.
We're all very tired today.
When you're trying to hit a word count in your essay.
Oh, boy. So, guys, we'll see you on the main pod. We're going to talk about Blade Runner 2049, and then we're going to talk about our favorite movies of every year from the last 10 years.
Hell yeah.
I think we're going to have a lot of debates on this one. And not just one movie. We're probably going to mention a couple there, but then pick an ultimate one each year. So try to create a list for yourselves in the meantime so we can debate about this on Twitter. We're going to try to figure out a way to pull together our followers, our listeners' favorite movie from each year as well. So for Trill Bones and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. Folks, have a great week. We'll talk to you during the main pod on Wednesday night and Thursday morning. Go, go, Power Rangers!
Go, go, Power!